Everyone, hello.
Hi. Hey, guys. Hey, squad. Happy spooky season, everybody.
Yes, I was going to say this is a very special episode.
Very special.
Because it's for spooky season. And we've also been talking about doing it for, I think, 2 years.
At least a year, because I had old notes that I couldn't find. But I know I made them.
We're going to be recapping The Houses That October Built, a beloved film that we beloved together.
We beloved together. We've watched it many... This is probably one of the only times I've watched it without you.
Yeah, because that was in like 2017. It was only like 3 years past.
Yes, it had come out.
Now it's 10. Ago.
I know it's... earlier this month was the 10th anniversary of its release, so now it's proper vintage.
Yeah, October 10th, 2014 is when it was released. It's actually better that we're doing it on the 10-year anniversary.
I know. I feel like that it meant to be a little kismet right there.
After this recap, we're going to be doing another recap, I guess, of our favorite, our top 10 favorite movies. So by that, I mean 5 from each of us. So it's 10 cumulatively.
Oh, I wrote down 10.
Oh, you wrote 10?
I did.
Okay, well, that's funny because I wrote down technically 5, but then I wrote down like 5 additional that are like genuinely scary. So they're not necessarily my favorite horror movies, but they're the horror movies that like scared the shit out of me the most.
So some background on The Houses October Built. It is not The Houses That October Built, like I will probably say a few times during this recording.
And because that is the Queen's English, so we are saying it correctly.
The Houses October Built.
The Houses October Built. Like, that's not proper, okay? We're saying it because that's the movie.
It's a found footage horror movie, so it was kind of at the, what I would consider the height of found footage. Like, Blair Witch came out in 99, I think, and then... nothing really until Paranormal Activity came out in 2007 and everyone lost their goddamn mind about found footage. And now there's probably hundreds of found footage horror movies out there. Paige has seen most of them. I have seen a few.
I love them. I sought them out and I still do. Like when there's new ones, I'll watch them. I'm like, ooh, a found footage. It's now kind of considered lazy filmmaking. Like, probably because it was like, and when I tell you it's saturated. Like there's at least a trillion. The most recent one that came out that I really love that did an excellent job, and it was probably the last one that could like do something like that without it being like super chug, is it was called Host, and it was a pandemic one.
I was thinking that it kind of peaked in this year, but then I was looking through like kind of like the Wikipedia's list of found footage horror movies, and it hasn't really slowed down that much. The Houses October Built was released on October 10th, 2014, and it was directed by Bobby Rowe, written by Bobby Rowe, starring Bobby Rowe as Bobby Rowe. Zach was one of the writers.
Oh, okay.
But it's...
Because we have questions about Zach's presence. No offense, Zach.
Or is it Jeff? I get Jeff and Zach so confused.
Oh, no, Brittany. Oh, my God. No, I just did it. I am thinking... So... we're thinking of Jeff. Jeff is the one that we have no clue why he's there other than to drive the van.
So there are 5 main characters and they're, I could say who's played by who. It's their names.
Yeah, it's their names. They're full governments too. At the very beginning, they gave their whole government.
Seriously. So there's Bobby Rowe, Mikey Rowe. They are brothers. Brandy Schaefer, Zach Andrews, and Jeff Larson. And we open on a dumbass quote. I'm not afraid of werewolves or vampires or haunted houses. I'm afraid of what real human beings do to other real human beings. Walter John Williams.
You know what's funny about that quote? It kind of like describes found footage.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about the plot, but interspersed throughout the movie are, I'm going to call them vignettes, but they are actual interviews with real haunted house employees, owners, and quote, scare actors from these actual haunted houses throughout mostly the South, like Texas, I think is like predominantly where all these exist. So we're not going to go over all of those because there were a lot of them. Also interspersed between the action is dialogue from the cast that we'll say in writing class terms does not move the story forward.
No, it was apparently improvised by all the actors and you can tell.
I didn't actually, you said that, and I thought it was just, like, some scenes. So, like, all of their chatty scenes are just, like, improvisation?
Mostly. I'm guessing it's kind of like Blair Witch, where they had direction and were told, like, in what direction to move stuff into. Maybe some of it was scripted because occasionally they drop really important things, but it's very blank and you'll miss it, which is a choice.
Some of the stuff they drop, it's like kind of you think it's going to go somewhere and then it doesn't. Like they have a conversation about their worst fears at one point, and like so you're watching it and you're like, oh, I wonder if this is going to come into play. Like they're going to walk into a haunted house with their worst fears. It doesn't. And so that's kind of what goes on here. Respectfully.
Respectfully.
We're 5 days to Halloween. Our heroes, the gang, they're discussing going on this little trip. And I say little trip. It's not a little trip. It's a large undertaking. So Bobby and Zach are the two. I guess they're the leaders of this excursion. They're the ones making the documentary because, like we said, it's a found footage. So we have to be making some type of documentary. And this is before social media really took off. So they had to make a documentary. I guess they could have made a YouTube video. Actually, realistically, that's what they would have done.
Realistically, that's how this would have been published.
Right. But they're in their 30s, which means they were born in the 70s and early 80s. So they probably were like, I didn't know we could do that. Kind of like, I didn't know you could do things on TikTok for a long time. So we're making a documentary, and the subject is most extreme haunts in America. And they apparently are all in Texas.
And maybe one in Louisiana.
And they're talking about going. They're excited. We get their intros at, you know, they're at a bar. They've known each other for a long time. Like, they're all, like,
college friends, maybe?
High school, even, because I believe later on, Brandy and Mikey mentioned that they kissed once, which explains why he's really annoying about her.
Yeah.
So they're like, yeah. And then we find out here that, like, Mikey and Bobby are actual brothers. And then we meet Zach, the other guy, and he's the one who is, like, organizing the haunts. So he's, like, the guy behind, like, he's, like, got the list of haunts, and he's the one being like, okay, guys, like, we're going here this day, here that day. Bobby's like the director. Zach, no.
Is Jeff maybe the cameraman?
Jeff is the cameraman.
He's not good at his job. Let me say that.
We also see him on camera a lot for somebody. They switch. They hand the camera around depending on who they want us to see. Zach also seems to be there only to drive the bus. I keep saying Zach when I mean Jeff.
I call them Jeff/Zach a lot in my notes because they're both just like dweeby looking white dudes.
They don't even look the same, but like it's kind of like how people started confusing you and me for a while in college.
Yeah.
So Jeff is there to drive the van and he's like, ugh. He also has weird poems sometimes that we are forced to hear.
Yeah.
I know.
And why?
I've been accosted recently this year where a drunk guy that was macking on me was like, can I read you my poems? It's so mean to do to somebody.
There are no worse words in the English language than, can I read you a poem I wrote?
So threatening.
No, you may not.
That's the guys, the boys. Also, Mikey, he is like the Casanova. I don't really think he's supposed to be an actual Casanova. I think he's supposed to be like just like the cad. Like he's always like hitting on a girl or making a like sex joke or whatever. He's the one with the beard, you guys.
I suspect he was given this role because he's brothers with the writer.
I suspect nepotism was in play. I suspect that he's the funniest in his friend group. Like they're always like, or he thinks he is. Like I think he's definitely the guy that like, he's the guy who plays guitar. You know, he plays the drums.
Yeah, he actually strikes me as more of a drummer.
He started several businesses, I feel, and none of them have panned out. I'll give a brief descriptor of Bobby. He's kind of bossy. He's the tallest and he has the most hair and is arguably the most attractive. So he's really bossy and it's his movie.
Yes.
Zach is he's like the horror nerd. I already said that. He's the shortest. He also has a lot of hair, but he's kind of like the one, like, he's like, oh, God. Like, he and Jeff are like, that's why we keep confusing them because they're both like, they're like, oh, guys, like, Bobby and Mikey are like the guys who fuck.
Yeah. Like Jeff is someone who I think I would think was hot until he started talking.
So now moving on to our scream queen.
Queen Brandy.
I have an all new appreciation for Brandy 10 years in. But let me tell you, in 2017.
She is a pick me.
They make her a pick me.
There is no getting away from. I mean, a girl on a road trip with four dudes.
Bear with me, America. I ask why, because if you're not fucking one of these dudes, what's the point?
I have a theory that Brandy has no female friends because I guarantee, Paige, this is my friend guarantee to you. If you are like, Brittany, I am going to go on a cross-country road trip with four guys and we're going to go to extreme haunted houses, I would go, no, you are not.
Right?
That sounds awful. Don't go. That sounds dangerous.
If you've never seen this movie, I bet you can guess what happens. I mean, it's a horror movie, so in general, something bad happens. But, like, you probably can tell something bad. I mean, come on. She doesn't really do a lot else. Like, the whole, aside from, again, the dialogue, you just pick up on little things about her. Like, I don't know, she's pretty chill. She's not terribly whiny.
She doesn't fucking like haunted houses, though.
Not really. No, she's like constantly, like, she's really upset, like, the entire, every time they go into a haunted house, she's just like, oh my God.
I am under the impression in real life she was hired for the movie to be the scared one.
Yeah, they're like, we're going on this trip, oh my God. And then they spend like a final night partying.
They proceed to get fucking wasted.
They get destroyed, and it's, like, kind of, like, you know, very millennial-coded, like, party scenes, like, you know, like, shots. They're at, like, a really crowded bar. I think someone's boobs are in people's faces or, like, whatever, you know. And it's, like, each one gets a shot of them being, like, so then they're on the RV. They have a massive RV that they've rented for this. The RV is like the sixth character in the show.
Yeah, no, the RV is very important.
If we're not at a haunt, we're in the RV or around it. We're in the RV right now. They're on their way. Everyone's hungover. They're talking about how Zach got wild, and apparently it's not an actual Zach. I promise you it's not Jeff, because Jeff's driving the RV.
No, that's what Jeff's doing. Zach, so it must be him.
They're like, Zach, you got, like, so wasted. It was really embarrassing. He's like, really? They're like, yeah, at one point you tried to fuck a pumpkin, or you were fucking a pumpkin. And Brandy's like, Zach, I want to help you out here, but it's true. And he did not seem to care. He was like, oh, no, boys will be boys. You would have had to stop me from throwing myself out of that moving RV.
I don't think he really did it.
You think so? I thought Brandy was pretty genuine because she seemed like
she
disgusted.
Was, but then he, like, looked at her and kind of laughed, like, okay. And I was like, oh, I don't think he... So, whether or not he fucked a pumpkin is up for debate. Although Mikey did fuck a Playboy model.
At the thing?
You know when he, like, pops out of the back of the RV and that girl leaves? She's an actual Playboy model.
I forgot about that scene. Yeah, there's a scene where they're on the RV, like, looking around before they, like, depart. And he's like,
He stumbles out hungover and is like, don't be mad. And Bobby's like, why would I be mad? And he's like, you're about to find out. And this Playboy model who owns a chain of pizzerias in, like, Dallas or something. I did a side goog.
Amazing.
Stumbles out and, like, walks away. She's a real, I'm just like, this is such a male written movie. He's like, and then my brother fucks a Playboy model.
It's so annoying because they do, like, that's what they do. Like, I mean, honestly, it couldn't be Jeff or Zach, so I get it. But, like, it's leaving us with just Mikey to be the one who fucks. So you can probably tell we're a little annoyed with them. And I think that is the point, because it's kind of, like, plays into what happens later. Like, they're not terribly likable people.
No.
We don't sound like we like them. They're not
likable. Are we supposed to?
I don't think so, because, like, they kind of make them unlikable. Like, even when they're not trying to be, it's almost, like, a bit smart, because even when they're not trying to be unlikable, they're pretty unlikable.
Yeah.
Like, even this partying scene, I'm like, I don't want them to be having this much fun. Something, it's almost like those friends that you watch their stories and you're like, oh my God, I just know that they posted that and they're like, people are going to be so jealous.
I'm like, go home. You're 35. Go home and pay your bills. Why are you out drinking?
Yeah, they were, like, in their early to mid 30s in this movie, and I just don't buy this scene. Like,
no. I was exhausted watching it. I am the same age Bobby Rowe was when they filmed that, so I'm like,
yeah.
I mean, yes, maybe. Okay, was I just at a wedding the other weekend having a lot of fun and doing something similar? Sure, but then I wasn't then leaving on a trip where I was gonna have to stay up late going to haunted houses.
I know, they have a big day tomorrow.
That's like, how are they thinking?
Maybe we burnt out early.
Well, the funny thing is we watched that movie when we were 27. That scene made perfect sense to me. I was like, yeah. Uh-huh.
No, you're right. I was like, totally. We were watching it incredibly
hungover. I was about to say, frankly, I had probably just done that the night before. But I was 27.
So we're on the road now. Dialogue. So now we're at the very first haunt. This is like 15 minutes into the movie. It's called the Haunt House. You're like, what happened in 15 minutes? Nothing, guys. That's it.
Don't worry about it.
Don't ask.
You know, like all the like blathering we did at the beginning of the podcast, kind of like that.
They're in the haunted house. They're experiencing it. And this is a lot of what they do is like they'll arrive at the haunt. Something might happen before they walk in. Nothing happens in this particular scene. They're just in the haunt now. So Brandy gets into a coffin. Very clown heavy in this haunt. Just a lot. It's pretty standard. It's scary, but it's like, you know, like so they go through different rooms. Like one's got like lights and like loud music playing. Like one's really dark and there's people standing in the corner. It kind of, they get scarier as we go. The scariest thing happens next. So they enter into like a hallway and it's like probably the most menacing of them. It's like dark. It looks like an abandoned house. And this woman walks out and she's in probably one of the worst to date doll costumes I've ever seen in my life. And I have an early fear of dolls. Because my grandmother collected them and there was an episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark about a dollhouse? Traumatizing. Anyway, so this is the girl that made everyone want to see this movie. She is her.
She is iconic.
Iconic doll girl.
Did I write down her fucking name? No. Porcelain.
Porcelain. They don't say it. I know. It's a really cool name.
Well, I think even though this movie isn't well known, I do think she is. Like, I've seen ripoffs of her oust and abouced.
I think there was a meme going around of, well, we're getting to it, like, her more famous scene in the movie, aside from, like, her just existing. She's terrifying. So she's kind of the star of this. We don't get a lot of her, but she's probably the worst thing I've ever seen to date. And she belongs in, like, fuck. I would say a scarier movie than this.
I would totally agree. She's gasping. She's going...
awful. And the mask moves with her. So she's wearing a mask, but it's uncanny. Like it's almost lifelike in the way it's morphed to her face. And it's her, when she speaks, like most masks, it doesn't move with your mouth. Her mouth moves with it, but it's very light. So it's really scary. Hey, if you're a doll menacing people, what do you say? Come play with me.
She's so good.
Oh yeah. She goes, you want to be a pretty girl like me? It's so... oh.
Now, if I was stupid enough to go on this road trip, this would be the end.
This is where I die.
The end of me. Bricks were shat.
Oh, yeah. No, my colon. Like, they're like, what is this like fake entrails? Like, is this like fake stomach? No, that's Paige's entrails because she shot them out.
She's a husk of a woman now.
And her head, like the hair, it's these wispy little pieces of hair and they're truly awful.
Do you think they blew the budget on her?
I think they might have, yeah. We're outside of the haunt now, so we're done. Zach asks one of the actors about like shady shit that's going on. It's like rumored that happens in the haunts. They're focusing a lot on like the potentially people using real body parts from morgues. This was a main point in the 2011.
Oh, okay.
One. So the guy gets really awkward, the one he's talking to, and he's like, "Huh, yeah, I've heard of some things happening." And then he kind of looks at the camera. Whoa, what goes on?
What goes on? What was that?
So now we cut to Mikey and the gang. They're like, oh yeah, like do it, Mikey. Like you should do it. There's a ladder right there. And he goes, do you think I should do it? They're like, yeah, do it.
For no discernible reason.
No reason at all other than to, again, piss us off. So Mikey climbs to the top of one of the haunt buildings and it's a big crowd of people. You know, it's like, probably over like 100 something people and they're all standing there waiting to get into the haunt and he yells, I'm a Halloween god, and everyone like cheers. My like subtitle said he said happy Halloween, but that's not what he said or whatever. It was like, I'm a Halloween god.
And he takes out a megaphone.
And I, oh yeah, he had a megaphone.
And I was like, first of all, where'd you get that? Second of all, at first I was like, okay, why are they doing this? And then I'm like, okay, Brittany, maybe they're gonna like take footage of the group for their fake movie that's right. They're never going to get to make. And no, and then he just shouts, I'm a why? Why?
Right? So they close up on the haunt leaders and they're all in like really scary clown costumes and masks. So we can't see their face, but they like are kind of like whispering amongst themselves because the crowd starts cheering too. They're like, woo!
Yeah.
And it's pretty disrespectful, honestly. Like in terms of turfing, this is rude. It just, you don't like do that at someone's event. They can acknowledge like, oh, those guys seem pretty pissed off. As Mikey's getting off of the roof and they're like kind of going to make their escape, the haunt leaders then approach them and they're all in their scary clown costumes. What are you doing up there, boy? It's very Southern. They're like, what are you doing up there, boy? Take your hoodie off.
It's so dumb.
So yeah, we can assume that there was like a kerfuffle here and they're probably like, get the fuck out of our haunt. You know, we don't really hear. They don't. They might have been muttering about it when they were leaving, but so now we're in the RV and we're driving away and they're like, you know, blah, 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 chit chat, chit chat, chit chat. On the way out, they like make a turn and they see one of those clowns who confronted them standing in the middle of the road, like, or the side of the road, like staring at them.
Kind of like menacingly.
Again, menacing because he is in a full scary clown costume, so we do not know what he looks like. We can assume he's like menacing them, you know, but they're like, and they're like, oh, what the fuck is he doing? That's so weird. Like, and Brandy's like, let's get out of here. It's weird. It's fucking scary.
So the next day, we're now at 4 days till Halloween and we're back on the road. Some of them are stoned. Brandy's afraid of snakes. Bobby might be married because I noticed a ring on his finger.
Oh.
Brandy and Mikey once hooked up. Don't worry. None of this is relevant. So I wrote they stop somewhere to make camp for the night, I thought, and they're drinking beers around a fire, and one of them wrote a rap, and I have to assume it was Jeff.
It was Jeff. So yeah, they pull over to like make camp for the night. They're going to leave their RV or like, I don't know. I was like, are they going to Uber to the location? But probably not.
I guess they're 2013. Parked near the location.
Yeah, they might be walking because that's what they do set up camp. They're like, oh, we'll set up camp. We'll have a couple of booze before we go. So.
And then from the depths of the forest comes a out of fucking nowhere, this man shows up and he's like,
you guys enjoying the fire? And he's got, and he's got like haunt makeup on. And he literally came up behind them like from the woods.
Yes!
He emerged.
He lives in there.
Yes, that's what they're like. Because Bobby goes, what the fuck are you doing out here? He literally says that. And the guy goes, I live out here. And they're like, cool.
Cool.
You work at one of the haunts? He goes, yeah. Cut, they kind of cut, and we come in the middle of Bobby saying something, being like, yeah, you know, it's pretty backwoods here. Saw a couple of kids and like didn't even want to call CPS. That's how backwoods it is. And then the guy they're talking to, who literally lives in the backwoods, goes, what do you mean backwoods?
Leave. These are all your signs to leave. And they're just like, we're gonna go. And actually, this is the most mild of all the haunts they go to.
Yeah, they cut to, now they're at Rise in Eureka, Texas. And Brandy goes, if that guy's still at our campsite when we get back, I'm out. Should have been out as soon as he showed up.
Should have been out at Porcelain last night, bitch.
Right, yeah, you should have been out when you seen Porcelain. You should have been out when those haunt guys followed you. Like, what? See what I mean? Like, they're annoying. Like, they want us to be mad at them. Telling a person who came from the woods, like, yeah, it's pretty backwoods out here. Bobby.
You don't know these people.
So, sorry, I got lost. So feel. Oh, we're just at Rise. Oh yeah, this is the paintball haunt.
Yeah,
that's fun.
Yeah, nothing scary happens because that's gonna happen later tonight. They just play zombie paintball, which actually looks really fun and is the only haunt in this movie I would consider going to.
This looks fun. They're like, people come crawling out, but you're supposed to shoot them. So it's like, and it's not, it didn't seem really extreme. Like, they weren't jumping on the van with them or anything.
Yeah. And now I'm kind of like, how is this one of your extreme haunts? I think one of the problems they ran into is that haunted houses are so similar.
Yeah. I think that comes up in the dialogue at some point there, because they do keep being like, oh, like, what happened to extreme, man? Like, what, it was an extreme haunt. And then at the end, they're like, how extreme do we want it?
And I feel like the extreme haunts they do are not like what I've heard happens in actual extreme haunts, because they are a real thing. I feel like people get their hair cut off and stuff.
Very fun little haunt experience there. So after that.
I thought at first they were sleeping there, but they just parked their RV and decided to like drink beers around a smoldering fire.
Oh, and then before they leave the paintball haunt, they're like chatting about it. Like after, they're like, oh, yeah, it was like really fun. And we see the camera picks up. There's like a clown in the background, like staring at them like, ooh. Because we're kind of starting to get the feeling now that people are watching them. And hints begin to get dropped around the middle of the movie that like people are aware of them. Like people kind of know who they are. I don't know how. Well, early internet, they're like, people are talking about us on Facebook. They head back to their camper. Yeah, they leave a smoldering fire for, I guess, that homeless man to deal with. And then they drive off to find their sleeping location. On the way, they see a car broken down on the side of the road. And I thought to myself, that's a little suspicious.
It's a little weird.
Oh no, my car has broken down on the side of the road. They see the owner of the car is none other than the fucking doll girl from the first haunt that is now 100-something miles away.
Yes.
And she's still in her doll. You're wondering how I know this. She's in the exact same outfit. Yes.
Now, I'd be like, let someone else can deal with that.
No one dressed like that is unsafe. They're fine. No one's picking. No one's going to hurt that person.
Now, if she was like a normie, like who actually needed help, she would have taken her mask off so that she could properly be like, hey, sorry, I'm in this getup, like, I need help.
Thank you. So what do? They stop the car and I don't know why Jeff, who's driving, of course, stopped the car. They were like, stop the car, pull over. Let's like see what's going on. No, I would have been like, no, I'm driving this car. So fuck you. I'm not stopping the fucking RV, you absolute monsters. Why would we ever do this? But they do. And so for some reason, they stop the van at the behest of everyone. Or maybe it was just Mikey. And then Mikey goes like, well, I'm just going to go like check on her and see if everything's okay. And they're all like, why? It's 3 a.m. He says something about wanting to be a good Texas gentleman or whatever. So he goes out there. We see the outside camera that apparently they have attached, affixed. He's talking to her. And then a second later, he turns around. She follows him into the van and he goes, she didn't really say anything. And then she sits down among them. Among them.
They are all aghast.
And they go, Mikey, what is happening? And he goes, she just kind of followed me. No, sir, she literally did follow you and you did nothing to stop her.
I would have been like, whoa, bitch.
A little bit of victim blaming here. I mean, like, what? Like, he's like, she kind of just like followed me. It's like, you stopped the whole bus to talk to her. I would have probably assumed you wanted me to come with you too. Nonetheless, she's looking around at them and one of them goes, is everything okay? What happened to your car? And then mid-sentence? What do we do here, Brittany? What do we do? What do we do?
Do you put the clip in? Do you give everyone nightmares?
I'm gonna have to. Okay. She lets out, when I tell you, a guttural but shrieking mouth noise. I can't even call it a scream.
It's one of the worst things I've ever heard.
This person is genuinely the most terrifying creature in film history, and she lives in this movie, which makes no sense.
Oh, she is wasted on this movie. It's so sad.
She screams, and I am going to put the clip in because you've got to hear it, but like trigger warning, loudness warning.
Sorry.
I'm going to put it in.
I'm going to turn it down when I listen. I'm going to be like, oh.
Yeah, it's happening right now. And then the camera cuts and you're like, fuck, because surely something horrible is about to happen. No.
This fucking queen just gets up and walks her little ass off the RV and they're all like.
First she sits there and she lets them stew in this moment.
She's like, I want y'all to think about what I just said.
She makes sure everyone is having a reaction. I think she sniffs the air to see if there's a faint scent of urine.
I mean, I peed my pants, so there definitely is.
It's almost like she's waiting for them to, like, freak the fuck out.
I know.
And they kind of call her bluff because they don't. Everyone just sits there. And then she gets up and she starts making bizarre little, like, little gremlin noises, being like, and then she gets off the van. Jeff jumps up from the driver's seat, runs to the door and goes, what the fuck was that?
The only one having the appropriate reaction.
I'm asking where the fuck that reaction was when she screamed. You know when someone starts to scream and your instant reaction is to slap them?
Yes.
Because you're just like, no. That's how I felt. And I'm shocked no one did that. Because, like, I don't know how... How do you not hurt someone when they do that?
I think I would have been frozen. But when she did her little, like, peek around, I think I would have been like, you need to get off this RV right now. I'm gonna... Something bad's gonna happen if you stay on here. You terrifying little witch. It's so sad, though, that we are... I don't think at the halfway part... This is the scariest scene in the whole movie.
That's it. A shame. Yeah. You could have stopped the movie here. I would have been like, well, that's that it. Was a surely
great,
they die.
Honestly, that's a great movie.
Scary enough to end on.
The Paige and Brittany cut.
Cut to next morning. They're like, that was weird.
But they don't... They are not as upset as they should be.
They don't call the police. And they do chastise Mikey for even having that stupid fucking idea. But... I would say, why did we stop the car, Jeff? You know, like, why did any of this happen?
It was a series of poor choices, frankly.
And then is this what Brandy tries to make light or whatever? And she goes, it's like everyone out here is a fictional character. So strange.
Based on my notes, here's where they start talking about how extreme they want the haunts. But they're, Jeff seems to have it in his mind because, like, everyone is so stupid and redneck in Texas that they should have the best haunts. And now I'm wondering if he even knows anything about extreme haunts. Because he's like, well, everyone here is just so dumb and redneck and criminal that shouldn't they have the best haunts? And it's like, what?
That's what I mean by the dialogue is kind of hard to follow because, like, and it's a little muffled. Like, the audio is actually not great, which lends itself to them being amateur documentarians. But, like, sometimes it's hard to follow because I'm like, I don't actually know what they said right there.
Now, here they make the very first mention of this group called Blue Skeleton. It is, like, allegedly this haunt that has no fixed location. And I guess we learn now that they are in the backwoods trying to find a password that will lead them to this haunt. And again, because the audio sucks, I'm not even really sure if that's what they say, but that's the gist. So the true first mention of Blue Skeleton is at the beginning of this movie when they do, like,
yeah.
the typical, this footage was recovered after five friends went on this dumbass trip. And also some of the footage is filmed by Blue Skeleton.
Right. Yeah. And that's the most extreme
of all the haunts.
And at this point, people are starting to kind of know who they are. And it's a little because I think the haunt people are now stalking them. And by I think I mean we know.
We know.
They are being stalked by the haunt people.
Sorry, I can't even do her scream. It's so good.
I can't even.
Oh, it's animal.
It's animalistic. And then the noises she makes after are also animalistic. They're very upsetting.
She reminds me of like an Ewok. She's like,
no notes on her character. Yeah, they're like, okay, they talk about how weird the night was before they discuss Blue Skeleton. They're looking for it, hoping to find more details about it. Oh yeah, and Mikey's like, yeah, but like, how much more extreme do we want? How much do we want?
And I was thinking, till this point he's been kind of the group idiot, but he's so right here.
No, it's true. He's like the first one to start being like, I don't know if we need any more. And Zach's like, no, we like totally do. So that's kind of how he's like, guys, just like stop. Every time they're like, we don't want to. He's like, stop.
I think he's having a moment where he rented the RV. So he thinks he's like king shit of shit island.
Yeah, they're like letting him kind of tell them what to do. And I would be like, yeah, just drop me off. I'll fly back. I'd be like, I'll just, like, take a plane or something because I'm not fucking doing this with you people.
As soon as we got to Baton Rouge, I'd be like, take me to the airport.
Louisiana is not a place I want to be fucking around or finding out.
Mm-mm.
Either or.
Nope.
So the next haunt is Terraplex. It is in Mansfield, Texas. Zach's like, I gotta pee while they're waiting to go in. And they're like, go to the bathroom in the woods like an adult or whatever. So he's like, fine. So he goes in the woods and this is Zach.
And takes... the camera for his piss.
Doesn't explain why. Like, usually in found footage, they'll be like, I'm taking the camera for the light. I think he just takes it this time. And we're all just supposed to be dumb fucking idiots and we're supposed to let him. But thank God he does. So he goes in the woods to pee and he is set upon by my second most favorite character in this movie.
Hillbilly zombie rabbit.
Bloody bunny horrible axe. I called him the horrible bunny suit, bloody bunny suit axe wielding guy.
He's actually pretty scary.
He's huge. He's also a tall dude.
Oh, like, yeah.
And it's just this guy in a head-to-toe deranged-looking bunny suit. And it's covered in blood. He's holding an axe. So he starts, like, he's making, like, clicking noises, like bunny noises, I guess. And he's in, like, me. And so Zach's like, haha, that's a cool costume, dude. And then the guy takes the axe and he, like, kind of starts swinging into, like, a sapling tree.
To demonstrate his great strength.
Then he starts to, like, run at Zach, and Zach's like, ugh, get the fuck away from me. And he's, like, Mickey's going, like, woo. And then he'll just, like, stop. And we see him, like, put his little, his hands up in these white gloves and go, like, it's fucking terrible.
I would say porcelain is scary. He's upsetting. I'm upset.
Oh, but he's hopping. That was the most deranged. He was, like, hopping, like, closer and closer and going, like, yeah, just upsetting. He basically just stops midway through his little shenanigans. I mean, he kind of just walks away, and that's it. And Zach's like, huh, we're not even at the hunt yet.
And it's like, yeah. He, again, not an appropriate reaction. He's terrified, and then the guy leaves, and he's like, well, okay.
Yeah, we're not even at the hunt yet. Yeah, isn't that the most concerning part? This guy's lurking in the fucking woods and he can't take no for it. But so Zach is like operating in the realm where like this is just how it is.
So now they go through this haunt and it's basically the same as the first one, but more bunk. Like this one. So the footage of all these haunted houses is kind of like watching footage someone else filmed of a concert. It's a lot of flashing lights, a lot of like fast moving scary images, but I am never scared when we're in the haunted houses, except for porcelain.
Some of the rooms are like torture based, which I think was supposed to be the theme of this one. We start to hear the Brandy stuff starts here because they pass like a dinner table scene. It's got like rotting food and Brandy goes, that's disgusting. And one of the guys goes, Brandy, you okay?
And she in this one, she does start to scream that they should just go. Like, in this one, she's starting to get freaked out.
Because she ends up in, like, a nursery-themed room. And it's got, you know, sorry, this creeped me out. I would hate this. Because this is, like, this is kind of one of my nightmares, like, being in a house like this. Like, waking up here and trying to get around, you know. And that is something found footage does really well. Because they do a really good job making you feel like you're literally in the dark. Because you're like, I can't see anything. So she's in this like nursery theme room. She turns and sees this. I don't even know how this could be a person, but it is like it's this like old woman type uncanny looking figure. It's really an actor, but you can't even make out her facial features. She's got these massive red lips and this hair and like she's got her arms out and she's going, Brandy, you're going to die, Brandy. And then a clown pops out and he says the same thing to her. He's like, Brandy, you're gonna die.
Poor Brandy. She really takes the brunt of this movie.
Right. And then she goes like, so then it cuts to them like, you know, getting out of the haunted house. She goes, I think it's weird that they knew my name. And one of the idiot guys goes, someone probably told them to say it. It's like, yeah, again, that's the problem.
That's really creepy. And then Zach tells them about the demented bunny situation, but he's like, it's not a big deal at all. Don't worry about it. And they're like.
So, and then is there anything after that? Or is it just cut to 2 days from Halloween?
That is my last note. And
I think there is another scene where they're like, guys, have you ever thought of drains or something like that? You know,
how do eels reproduce?
Do you ever think about where eels come from? How they reproduce?
2 days to Halloween. So. We're going to have a little bit of lighthearted fun again, just to pepper in some fun, you know, before the tragedy.
The tragedy that unfolds.
We're going to go to a strip club. I guess it's Halloween themed. It's a proper strip club. The girls have proper fake chests, like classic ones, too.
So first of all, this place is called Mickey Martin's Shipwheel, which is a great name for a strip club.
That doesn't even, I'm trying to think of the entendre in that, and I can't. Mickey Martin's Shipwheel.
Like, are they even on the coast?
Mickey Martin's ship wheel. I've never heard anyone be like, hey, show me. Maybe it's like a butthole reference. Hey, let me see your ship wheel.
Right in the ship wheel.
We found it. We found the entendre.
Figured it out.
And, you know, okay, listen, I'm not saying every girly has to be into strip clubs, but I thought Brandy could have bucked up a little bit. You know, strip clubs are fun.
I would rather go to a strip club than a haunted house.
Oh my God, I would have been so excited.
I'd have been like, thank God.
Oh, so yeah, Brandy keeps making faces at the shenanigans. I mean, I guess I wouldn't have liked when I saw them taking shots off the literal stripper's, like, nipples, because that's rude. Like, I feel like pay them extra for that, you know?
Yeah. Now, maybe Brandy isn't a true pick me, because I guess a real pick me would have been like, I'm having so much fun. Don't you see me having fun?
Or is a vintage pick me girl. Because, like,
okay, that's fair.
I want to say pick me's of millennial times, they weren't so, because they were all about the boys, you know? So, like, actually, no, I have a really good example. Beth, remember how mad Beth got because of the whore she kept talking about, the one that the 24-year-old?
Oh, yeah. So I kind of thought the strip club was their activity of the night, but no, they're moving along to their next haunt, which is Phobia on U.S. Highway 248 in Texas.
I can't believe they're still going out.
Well, then they are told that there are no cameras or pictures, which means this haunt has more rules than a strip club. So instead of footage of that, we get footage of Zach talking to some dudes he meets about Blue Skeleton, and Mikey's hitting on some haunt worker. Like, he has her in the RV and he's like, oh, like, how do you get your makeup like that? Like, if you're he's like, you ever kissed in your makeup?
And at one point she, like, does a trick for him.
Oh, yeah.
And this is so men flirting. This really bothered me. He was like, and you have a sexy thong on.
So Zach goes and tells the gang he knows where to find Blue Skeleton. They're in Louisiana this year. And as they head back to the RV, they are intercepted by the most hillbilly dude in a clown suit and a blue wig. He's like, I knew you guys were filming the whole time. And they're like, literally, we've been breaking rules this whole trip, but not here. And he's like, I know you did. And we're like, no, they didn't. Otherwise, they would have shown us the footage. Angry blue clown.
Yeah, they literally didn't. And I thought he was mad at first because of the thing that was happening in the RV, because that was being filmed, you know, like the hookup.
Yeah.
But no, it was because he thought they were recording, I guess because they recorded. So again, now we know that word. And the two randos that ran up to Zach earlier, they said to him, they're like, oh, you're the guy who's looking for Blue Sky, or you're the guy doing the haunt tour, right? So like, people know about them now.
Which is not really a good thing.
So yeah, this like haunt worker is so Southern and they're denying filming and he's like, getting aggressive and he's threatening them and it's like pretty funny. Remember yesterday? I wasn't born then.
I was like, that's actually a pretty sick burn, dude.
Mikey, because he's in like Mikey's face and they're all getting in Mikey's face probably because he's the most obnoxious looking one. I don't know why. He's like, you better fucking back up. And then the haunt guy goes, you want to fuck and back up? That's illegal in this state, son.
I was like, if I were Brandy, I would have been like, what?
One of them goes, you do not want to get him pissed off about Mikey. And I hate when people say that because it's like, that guy can't fight. Like, no. Whoever they say that about is the person who probably can't fight. Or he, like, yells and they're like, that's scary, Mikey. But he goes, yeah. So the haunt guy goes, I want to piss you off, and fuck her. And we're like, ugh. And so then at that point, Mikey goes, all right, that's it. Brandy, get inside now.
This is the hottest I find Mikey in the entire film.
They wouldn't have had to tell me twice. As soon as that man
walked they would have been like, Brittany, get back. Oh, she's already in the RV.
I would have been on the phone with the police. I would have been like, yeah, I left my friends out there. They definitely would have wanted me to go in first. So I almost said done.
You should go for it.
Done.
Random cut to this unknown person is filming the gang from the bushes, and then everyone goes to bed and they enter the RV where everyone is sleeping and they film. They steal an ID and touch Brandy's face. You kind of see them like pan over to a mirror, but the light from their camera is too bright so you can't see who it is filming them.
It's looks like a clown.
It is probably a clown.
They're never not in their shit either, so like you never see them in normal clothes ever.
Dun. So next morning, it's one day till Halloween, and Zach brings Bobby in the back bedroom to show him a video that was posted on some haunt forum. It's the video that we saw that was taken last night, and Zach mentions that he shares a bed with Brandy, and I was like, oh?
Yeah, that we saw that in the footage, too, that she was laying in bed with one of them, and I thought, that's unique.
Hmm. Bobby is freaked out, but they decide not to tell the others. Assholes.
Because they're like, they're definitely going to want to go home as soon as they see that. And I'm like, wow, and that would be an unreasonable thing for them to want to do.
Someone is stalking them, and they're like, well, let's not tell them. So Jeff had his ID stolen, and I wrote, what does Jeff even do here?
Well, he's the only one who drives, so now we have no one who can drive legally.
Mikey is already drinking, but then he goes to the fridge for another beer, and he discovers, like, some disgusting organ in the fridge. And listen, I'm not a surgeon. I don't know what it is.
It's huge. I have no clue what it is.
I thought it was a heart, but I think I know what a heart looks like. Was it, like, liver?
Maybe
pancreas?
It could have been a bovine heart, but I didn't realize they were that big, if it is.
It's gigantic. It's, like, the size of, like, a watermelon. Okay, that's big. Like a cantaloupe.
Yeah, it's huge. It clearly came from a butchery of some kind.
It wouldn't fit in my delicate body.
Oh, no. I'm not like other girls.
I'm not like other girls with organs. Mikey starts violently and, may I say, a little dramatically retching into the sink. He's like,
it's red meat. And I think they start calling him Michael here, which is weird. They're like, Michael, what's wrong? Michael. And I'm like, why are we switching to Michael?
Ooh, his government name.
So yeah, they kind of let this go.
They do.
Like, oh, yet another weird thing that's happening. They're driving. Zach gets an email from someone, like a blue skeleton source. I couldn't really make out what this was. Like, he's telling them, like, where it is, but they still don't have the address. And they need to go. So this is, like, the main part. The source gives them directions to this bar. It's called the D&D Bar in some town in Louisiana. When they get there, they're supposed to ask for someone named Mr. Giggles, who can then give them the official address to the blue skeleton fuckery. No clue why they still want to go at this point, but they arrive at the bar and it's like, I was like, oh, is this another haunt? Because it looked like they were outside of a factory and not a bar.
Oh, it's so sketchy looking. And they even are like, should we even go in there? And Zach's like, yeah, come on, guys, let's go.
Come on, we have to go. And then this doesn't happen now, but at one point he was like, oh, we got it. We're going to Blue Skeleton. It's like, fuck you, Zach. Like, shut up. So they go into the bar. I don't think I would have done this, but the first two guys they see, they just walk up to and go, we're looking for Mr. Giggles. And the guy's like, or like, oh yeah, Mr. Giggles. And everyone in this, it's an upsetting bar. So they've got like haunt makeup on, but they're normal face people, no masks. They're like, yeah, go sit down and he'll be with you in a minute. And I'm like, they don't know who Mr. Giggles is.
Is this supposed to be like a bar for haunt actors?
I think so. Because so they go and sit down and we take a gander at what's going on in this here bar. First of all, it's almost like a army hall. Like, remember where we had our theater awards?
Yes, it's like a VFW hall type.
VFW hall. Yep, that's what they, yeah. It's almost like that. Everyone is wearing haunt garb. So they're either in the face paint or they're in like full clown mask or whatever. And there's a couple like dancing on the dance floor very slowly. It's almost Lynchian, this like scene. It's upsetting. I truly hate it. So everyone's creeped out. They're filming. Some large gentleman sitting down looking absolutely miserable at one of the tables. I don't know who he is to this place, but he goes, hey, cut the camera. And of course they don't. They're doing that thing that people do when they're not from the area where they walk in and look like kind of overly like amused by everything or scared. So it's kind of stupid because it's like, well, obviously these people are offended by you. So then at this point, probably my favorite thing happens in this movie. A gentleman in a clown costume with like a full mask, so you cannot see his face. It's an unhinged looking clown mask. He comes simply wiggling over to them. Like, and the music. Oh, by the way, they're playing like bizarre old timey music.
Yes.
Like, it's like 40s. It's like a. It's like creepy.
And he is having a time.
And they're kind of like laughing at first. Like, Mikey's like, Brandy, look. And then it becomes obvious that he's like trolling them. It's like in the Breakfast Club where he's slow clapping and everyone realizes that it's a different type of slow clap and everyone's like, what's going on?
Yeah, because at first they're like, oh, and then they're like, oh, fuck.
it got weird, yeah. And so he comes a noodling on up to the camera, and he gets in the camera's face, and he's like, "Ooh." So then I think the, like, big guy who yelled at them originally about the camera then yells again, and you hear one of them go, "Okay, okay, we're turning it off."
These assholes. But again, they don't, they don't turn it off. They just put it on the table so it can only see all the beers they're drinking.
And so at that moment, the two guys from the beginning, the two guys from the bar, like the literal bar where they walked in, they're like, "Do you know Mr. Giggles?" They walk up to them, and I guess they did have some connection to Mr. Giggles, because they're like, "All right, are you ready to see Mr. Giggles?" And they're like, "Yeah, yeah, oh my God, yeah, yeah, yeah." So for no reason whatsoever, all the guys go outside, and then these two guys go, "Okay, but you have to leave the camera." And they're like, "Totally sure." So Brandy's like, "I'm gonna go to the bathroom."
Well, she went to go do that. She didn't know they were leaving the bar.
So then these guys come over and they pick up the camera, and we hear them being like, "Oh, the city boys left their camera. Let's go make a movie." And then they go into the ladies' room with Brandy, and she's such a nerd. She goes, "Hey guys, this is the ladies' room."
She's definitely not from New York. Actually, she's definitely not from the Northeast, because I would have been like, "You boys need to get the fuck out." In a more honest film, this is where she would be sexually assaulted. But at least Bobby Rowe spares us that. So they kind of razz her for a minute. Like, I think they kind of grab at her side or something, because she kind of like does one of these like, get off me. And then I thought they were like trapping her in there. She simply goes around them and out the door.
At the same time, the men are all entering again, probably because they realize they're like, "Oh, fuck, we left her alone in there with the creepy clown dancing guy." And she's like, "Bobby, those guys just cornered me." And he's like, "What? What?" And so we don't see what happens. No. I can only assume they got their asses kicked, but I guess not.
One of my critiques of this movie is every time I'm like, "Oh, yeah, yeah." It cuts. I'm like, okay, well, I kind of wanted to see if you guys fought him.
So yeah, cut to now we're in the van. Bobby's kind of chastising Zach because the camera's on Zach now, and like he looks almost like he's over everyone's critiques.
I know, they're like, "So Brandy almost got raped," and he's like, "Guys, extreme haunts though."
Yeah, Bobby's like, "Look, it's getting out of hand. They're filming us, posting shit about us online, getting in Mikey's face. But when they go after Brandy, it's a different story. We can never leave her alone again."
I was like,
and I wish I was exaggerating. No, he says
that exactly like that. And I was like, you can leave her alone, just not in really shady bars in an area you're not familiar with.
Yeah, like when the one girl says, "I'm going to go to the bathroom," you don't all go, "And we're going to go outside and have a cigarette and talk to Mr. Giggles." They're
like, it's clearly like an overcorrection where he's like, "And we're never going to leave you alone again." It's like I'm fine 90% of the time. But, you know, like in super obvious situations like this, don't worry, it doesn't happen.
Get a little, don't worry.
So they're discussing finding Blue Skeleton when they hear a noise outside, and they go to look out the windows but can't see anything. And something bangs against the RV again, which is my first actual jump of the movie watching it this time. That is the only jump scare where I was like, oh shit, that actually got me. So the gang like huddles together in the RV and they're like, oh fuck, what's going on? And the lights cut. All of a sudden, one of them is like, what if I turn that car on? That'll recharge the generator. And I was like, isn't all the power connected? Whatever. So they turn on the engine of the car and the headlights turn on. And probably this is probably the second scariest moment in the entire movie, because it illuminates outside and you just see a pack of scare actors just staring at them. And they're like peeking out the windows and they're like, oh my God, we're surrounded. Like one of like the scare actors like pops up in the window. They swing it back to the front window, and I'm only picturing those little freaks scurrying off, because it's like suddenly they're all gone. So they must have been like, okay, all right, let's go.
I know, like in real life, that's definitely how it would have looked. And there would have been at least one person still stuck behind. I wonder if they were supposed to be like, wow, they're voodoo magic.
I know.
Or something, because it really was. They looked, because like one of the scare actors like ran up to the window and they were all like, and they look back, they're like, where'd everyone go?
Well, don't worry. Nothing else happens to them that night.
Oh, at one point, they tell Brandy to stay back while she's in the fucking RV. They're like, stay back. It was when they were going to turn the lights on. He's like, stay back, Brandy. I'm like, yeah, Brandy, don't get too close to the window or the steering wheel.
Trying to grab you.
At this point, they're just like trying to be like, we don't have a girl in here.
What makes you think that? I almost said dun-dun.
Right? It feels like what we're supposed to say.
Well, it's Halloween and the mood is a little tense on the RV.
Yeah, Mike's like, I didn't like sign up for this.
He's making breakfast and trying to lighten the mood, but everyone is just kind of like, so guys.
So then I think another like thump happens outside or like against the RV because they're like, what was that? And then they open the window and there's a pumpkin outside. And they're like, what's this? And I think someone, like Brandy's like, don't open the door. And Zach's like, no, we have to because blue skeleton's in the hunt, you know? And so then he opens it and he takes the pumpkin inside. There's a note on it. It says, carve me. So he does. They happen to have a perfect pumpkin carving knife. I think they need special serrated knives. Whatever. Inside, I think, is instructions for how to get to the blue skeleton haunt, right? So then we finally have the address.
It says Bourbon Street, 10 p.m. How the fuck did they get that in the pumpkin?
Magic.
There's got to be a little magic going on because, I mean, I'm sure in real life they like stuck it up the bottom.
Oh no, in real life it was a fake pumpkin. I'm like, I can assure you 1,000% in real life that pumpkin had a false bottom.
But like here, in the here and now, I think we're supposed, how else would they have gotten it in there? So everyone besides Zach is like, this is a super bad idea. And Zach's like, what else are we going to do? Just go like drink at a bar?
It's Halloween. It's just one more day. And he puts the camera on Brandy's face. She's like hardcore dissociating.
And I wrote, anyway, Zach, who any of them, including Brandy, could have probably taken in a fight, decides they're all going. And they're all like, okay. Then they discover there are like 5 blue skeleton masks on their windshield wipers. And Zach's like, this is it, guys. And they're like, this is really concerning. And he's like, shut up. That doesn't happen. But so then they're on their way to NOLA. I don't know much. I don't remember much about the scene.
For this, I wrote, per the instructions, they go to Bourbon Street. There's like 1,000 people. The gang gets separated.
This is the most poorly shot sequence in the entire movie because it's literally just like people, costumes. Oh, is that blue skeleton? Nope, that's my dog. What's happening?
It's disorienting. Jeff thinks he sees Robbie walking down an alley. And so he's following him and he's going, Robbie, what are you doing? Bobby, which is the same thing.
It's the same name.
Robert and Bobby are same fucking thing. So Bobby. So he's like, Bobby. So then Bobby, like, quote unquote, disappears.
Maybe magic, now that we're entertaining this.
Yeah, maybe magic. In his place appear a couple of our old friends, including Doll Girl. She emerges from the shadows saying, you want to play with me? You pretty doll like me? So then Jeff turns around to leave, of course. And from the other side, we now see our old friend, Bloody Bunny axe-wielding guy, bunny suit guy, and a couple of other clowns. There's so many clowns that they're all kind of interchangeable at this point. But like, I would assume clowns we've met before, clowns of days past, are here too. There's like 5 of them and they're all closing in on Jeff. And he's like, I just want to find my friends. And then they all just start to stab him.
And saying like scary southern things like, you lock this boy up, stab, stab.
Yeah, one of them goes, now stick your tongue out. And you hear him like Jeff going like, what? Like wailing, you know, and like the camera's going crazy. It's like moving around. We just see their feet and they're all laughing menacingly. So you're like, oh no, something's. Jeff seems to be dead, you know, like, so this is the last we see of Jeff. So cut to the other group. They're all together and they're like, where the fuck is Jeff? So they call him and they're disturbed to find that his phone goes right to voicemail and the voicemail is playing a pre-recorded message from the Blue Skeleton crew telling them where to meet them. So Zach is still being like, guys, this is it. This is part of it. And they're like, what?
They're like the kidnapping and murder. I mean, they don't know that, but
they don't know. Yeah, they don't know he's dead. But now they think they're like, okay, well, obviously skeleton crew, blue skeleton crew has Jeff. So we have to. So like, I think at this point they all probably would have trumped Zach and been like, we're fucking out of here. But now they have to find Jeff. So they got him a bit over a barrel at this point. They have to find their friend. So Yeah, they go find their RV, which is parked mysteriously as always. We don't know where they're parking any of it ever. Or how they're getting there in the days before Uber. So they drive to the location, and it's like another, so it looks like a haunt, like it's a house. And they get a text almost immediately upon arrival, and they're all freaked out except for Zach, of course. Zach's going like, guys, calm down. Like, everyone chill.
He actually tells them, he has the balls to say, guys, relax.
So they get a text, and it says, you've got like 45 seconds to go outside. And so none of them want to go outside, obviously. And Zach's like, oh my God, I'll fucking do it. So he like goes outside. And I forget if anything does, it happens to him. Nothing like happens to him. But while he's out there, they get another text. The people inside do. Like Mikey gets a text and it says, don't look up. And then they're accosted by some of the skeleton, blue skeleton crew. Like they're in the van already.
What was up?
I guess they were in the RV.
Oh, were they there the whole time? Because they bust out of the back bedroom, right?
The people who are still inside the RV are now taken outside. Bags are put over their heads, like black sacks. I believe they are... Are they put in handcuffs? I think they are
handcuffs
restrained.
Or zip ties?
Zip ties or something. But their hands are restrained and they're loaded onto a school bus. So at this point, the boys all start echoing a chorus of, Brandy, where's Brandy? Brandy, stay close. Brandy, Brandy, don't get separated from us. Brandy, Brandy, Brandy. And okay, listen, we know why they're saying it. But it's a little funny.
I forgot. My notes say, Zach tells them here to relax. Zach is still not freaking out.
No, Zach is still, as they're being loaded onto the bus and when they're on the bus, so they're being transported.
They are kidnapped.
Brandy, I think, is whimpering and Zach goes, guys, calm down. It's just part of the show. And everyone goes, shut the fuck up, Zach.
A catharsis for the audience, to be sure. Now, Blue Skeleton, I don't think they're even like cool people because they're listening to some god-awful music that sounds like, I don't know, like late aughts, like Marilyn Manson. It's like,
they should have stuck with the creepy, although I don't know how creepy it would sound, like creepy old timey music.
Yeah,
on
like a little
bus.
Like Teddy Bear's Picnic or something like. That's Tiptoe Through the Tulips for those of you who can't understand what I was just doing.
So kind of during this ride, like the Blue Skeleton crew is also, they're not calling themselves this. I am, because I'm not going to call them the Blue Skeletons or whatever. They're breathing on Brandy and touching her. And like at one point, Mikey tries to move next to her and they like pick him up and put him back. And he's like, hey, hey, fucking don't touch me. Don't touch me. And I'm like, I could have told you they didn't want you to move, yeah. But whatever. They make a stop and Mikey is taken off of the bus alone and led away. So they're like, what? And then it drives a little further away, not too far, stops again. Then Bobby and Zach are both taken off. And as they're being taken off, they go, what I think is Bobby goes, Brandy coming too? And Brandy's like, no, I'm not. And then Bobby's like, Zach, take Brandy with you, as if he can just grab her.
Yeah, I was like, you guys are not in control in this situation. I'm really sorry to tell you.
She's like, I don't want to be in here alone.
And they're like, we don't care, lady. We're like really bad people.
You're like one, like I think blows on her hair or something.
They're
it's just like
yeah, okay. You people really asked for this. You guys have been saying our names, a haunting and a hooting around. We've tried to scare you guys and you guys are like, this haunt isn't extreme enough for us. So I don't even feel sorry for any of them, except maybe Brandy, because
I know
I'm sure she had some thoughts once the men were led away.
Right. And they are, the men are panicking, of course, because we're all at this point thinking like, oh my God, like isolating the one woman, not ideal. And they keep sniffing her and stuff. So it's like, great. So she is taken to the third location and one of the scare actors whispers to her, that he's going to get off the bus. There's a camera in front of her. Once he's off, she can take the hood off and she can pick the camera up and leave the bus. So intended to film what happens next. So she does this. And the next 10 minutes, I guess I won't bother explaining it because it's literally just them. It's their experience. They're in either the same house but dropped off at three different locations outside or in three different haunted houses. They're all filming their own experiences in these haunts, and it's basically the same as like the other haunts, except
dirtier.
They're like real houses. It's like all old creepy shit, same type of thing, a lot of uncanny figures, The scariest thing I saw was the guy who was, like, standing in a room that was kind of lit red, and he had, like, a dog mask on, and he was in, like, kind of an 80s padded suit. He was just standing against the wall.
Is he the one that, like, I think Zach is like, man, how do I get out of here? And the guy's like,
he just, yeah, like, says nothing. Yeah, yeah, that was like, creepy. I was like, ew, oof. I don't like animal masks and stuff because it's, like, really creepy. It reminds me of, like, the Egyptian gods always scared me. Like, Anubis, like, that one. I forgot, yeah, the dog Anubis. One. I was like, ooh, scary. Yeah, scary. Yeah, so it's a lot of that. At one point, a little girl appears, and I think it's Mikey looks at her and goes, how the fuck do I get out of here?
She's like, mm-mm.
And then at one point, Bobby is in a room, and it sounds like whoever is in there with him stabs him, because then we don't see him again either. Because, you know, like, just stabbing sounds, like, it sounds like someone's being stabbed.
Sorry, why am I trying? Like, I can't even do, like, stabbing noises, but.
So then cut to, unless I'm missing something in between, I don't know how, but they knock Brandy out. She's, like, passed
out. She's bloody, but we never saw, like, anybody trying to hurt her.
No, she was kind of just, like, going from room to room, being like, And same with the guys, except for Bobby. They're just going from room to room being like, fuck, what is this, Bobby? Mikey?
Mikey might have been menaced with a chainsaw, but the cinematography here is so off the rails.
So cut to, Brandy is being transported. And this is where I completely forgot this. This is where we were at the beginning of the movie. They show her being transported in the back in this trunk. But I forgot because whatever. So she's being transported in this trunk. It's like kind of a long scene of her driving. We then are shown a grave with a coffin in it. Brandy is put into the grave with the coffin. We cut to seeing Mikey in a coffin, also in a grave. And then Zach is in a coffin, also in a grave. And then we are shown footage of Blue Skeletons burying each of them. And all of them freaking out because there's cameras in the coffins with them. Like, very unflattering.
Oh, I know.
Brandy, by the way. Horrible. They gave her the worst angle. It was, like, from the top down. The two guys were, like, an angle up. So it's them, you know, in various stages of duress because they're being buried alive. And we see that the Blue Skeletons have filled the graves up to the very top. And we cut to a close-up of one of the Blue Skeleton guys standing, staring at the camera with the mask on, kind of like a
gotcha.
And then actually the final scene in the final clip of the movie is one of those interviews, and it's of, like, kind of a dweeby guy. They're like, so, like, you know, how far do they take it at these haunts? And he's like, some of them take it, like, really, really far. Like, I'm not happy until you're, like, almost scared to death. He, like, says something like that, something about wanting to kill people. Executive producer Dick Wolf.
No, executive producer Bobby Rowe.
Executive producer Bobby Rowe. Concept Bobby Rowe. Written, starred, produced, directed, crafty, catered by Bobby Rowe. Longest hair, Bobby Rowe.
If that sounded chaotic to you, that's the whole movie, is just pure chaos.
We couldn't have done any better than we did.
And I dare you to try.
That is Houses October Built.
So let's talk about the name. Houses October Built. It is kind of a grand name for a movie. And I'm saying this as someone who likes the movie. The movie does not deserve the title. This movie should be called, like, Haunt.
There is a movie called Haunts, and it's actually very good. Yeah, it's really good. It's one of my favorite Halloween movies, actually, now. And it's about a haunt that's gone terribly wrong. I don't know if the original movie was meant to be a documentary, like, kind of a light, maybe like a pseudo found footage documentary, because it's definitely set up that way. It's more of a documentary title than a horror movie
title. Houses That October Built is a very good documentary title. This should just be called fucking Extreme Haunt.
The climax wasn't what I wanted it to be, even though it was what I expected.
The climax could have really made this a stellar movie. And I think they just kind of blew their load on their scariest stuff.
My mind goes to so many other ways they could have taken it. But then again, this was, like, the most rational. You know what it is? I probably am just like, well, this is the movie they set out to make. So it's hard to, like, I'm like, well, yeah, like, this is how it was supposed to go, I guess. But it just feels like it could have had a stronger ending.
Well, so as much as I've, like, shit on this movie, I really am very fond of it.
Me too.
Like, if someone else insulted this movie to me, I think I'd actually be like, Fuck off.
Right. Well, that's why I feel kind of like not bad, but it doesn't have great ratings. But I also see how, and again, as a found footage expert, I'll say it has good found footage elements in that it is super realistic, because it's probably one of the more realistic, with the exception of like the random like magic. It's one of the more realistic horror movies I think I've ever seen, because it could actually happen when you think about it.
Oh, 100%. This one's very realistic.
Right.
Porcelain is great. The bunny scene is terrifying. Actually, the scene where their headlights illuminate that group. And in fact, that actually should be closer to, that should be the climax. Like that whole gang is there and then they like rip them out of the RV and.
I agree. I think like, and that's why it's like both good and bad as a horror, because we're looking for those. Wow, this is so like, we're looking for those horror elements and they were giving us some of them, but then they were failing on the delivery for others. And it's because we were looking for like, you know, we were kind of echoing what they were saying. We were like, we want something more extreme. And we got it, but it was like, by the time we got it, it was the same as everything we'd already seen. Like, the haunt that they showed us was like, I mean, at that point, like, make it fucking hostile. Yeah. Like, show us real other prisoners of Blue Skeleton. But that's not what the movie was. In reality, the movie really was just, like, not just, but, like, it was an extreme haunt where they did shit like this. And that was kind of the whole movie.
Yeah, it's almost more just like, I don't know, a movie I like to watch around Halloween. I'm not really scared when I watch it. There is, like I said, exactly one jump scare.
Well, you know what? It's almost, I think the sequel almost undid what made it a horror movie, because now we know that it,
as like, so often sequels do.
And I guess that could segue us, unless we're done, or unless we're not done discussing.
I'm happy. Let's talk about our favorites.
So, yeah, that kind of leads me to one of my top five. And these are in no particular order. Grave Encounters is one of my absolute favorite horror movies. And I saw it when it came out. So, like, it was a Netflix streamer, I think. And it was so fucking scary. It starts out really corny because it's like a Ghost Hunters type thing. But then it just gets so fucking, it was, especially back then, I was like, this is... I was like, what the fuck is happening? And then they ruined it when they produced and released, because producing something is one thing, but releasing it is quite another. Grave Encounters 2. The answer to a question no one fucking asked, because they explained everything in the first one. We didn't need a sequel. There was no need. Second one, we talked about this in the beginning a little bit, Blair Witch Project. Same reasons.
Iconic.
Iconic. Again, played off of like real fears, real things that could happen, just being stuck in the woods and hearing children giggling just at any point. Get me the fuck out of there. Another one is called Caveat. That one's a little newer. So that came out in 2020. That's not found footage. It is a normal horror movie. It's terrifying. I won't even get into it. Just watch it. It's probably one of the scariest ones I've seen in a long time, because once you like do this, you kind of numb yourself. That's why I like found footage, because it's a little bit scarier, quote unquote, than like other types. So I'm like, oh, this is a beautifully shot horror movie. Caveat, fucking scary. I just fucking scary. Like the whole thing. I'm like, why is this happening? You know, like what world is this happening in and why? Unfriended, just one of my favorite movies, actually.
So good. On my honorable mentions.
Found footage. It was over Skype. I almost said Zoom because I forgot Skype existed. It's very period. It's like a period piece, in my opinion.
I think it's criminally underrated. It was scary.
It worked, and it was very intense. Like, they did a really good fucking job. So then my last top five horror movies, Creep. Have you ever seen Creep with Mark Duplass?
No, I don't think I have.
So that came out in 2014 as well. Creep is found footage. It's scary. Not scary traditional horror. So this is kind of where I'm like, is it horror? And it is. Because it's more like slasher-ish, but ooh, it's just like, it's something that could really, it's on Netflix. I highly recommend it.
Oh, okay.
It's one of those things that could like actually happen to you, and it's one of my worst nightmares. It is stalking-based.
Oh, shit. Okay, yeah, that's scary.
And then honorable mentions, so these are generally just like, these are actually just generally really scary. They're my favorites, but it's because they're so fucking scary. Poughkeepsie Tapes, 2007. Found footage, horrifying. Just horrifying, top to bottom, scary. I think about it like once a month and I'm like, they came up with some pretty sick shit to put in that movie. 2, Lake Mungo, very slow burn. That came out in 2008, also found footage. And the last honorable mention, that's just like, it's because it's fucking terrifying, Skinamarink. That came out in 2022.
I've heard of that.
A lot of people don't like it. It's another kind of found footage, but it's not, because it's like more just, it's just super disorienting. It's from the perspective of children and it's all at night and it never becomes day. It's really scary because it reminds you of like what that would be like as a kid to deal with.
I prefer a horror movie with a happy ending, which is absolutely ridiculous. And not all my movies follow that rule.
They exist.
They do. I'm going to rattle through my first 5 and then give more of reasoning for my actual top 5. So in no particular order, like my back 5 were 2018's Halloween, My Bloody Valentine, the 1981 one, Poltergeist, The Ring, and Jaws. I love a classic. In 5th place for my top 5 favorite horror movies, probably The Conjuring Part 2. First of all, I'm a huge fan of James Wan. I'm super impressed that they were able to create a sequel that was pretty much just as scary as the first one. And it reaches the top 5 for the sole scene with the nun in the painting. Holy shit, that scared the crap out of me in theaters. I like an atmosphere.
I didn't see that one because I thought it was going to be a bust.
It's really fucking scary. So at number 4 is 1978's Halloween. It is just the blueprint for all slasher movies. And I had a huge slasher girly phase in college. And if I'm going to rank all my favorites, I have to include the blueprint in my top 5.
Oh, absolutely.
It's so good. It's made on like such a like shoestring budget. It's, I think, Jamie Lee Curtis's first movie. If not, it's her first starring role. Number 3. Back to James Wan. I love Dead Silence. I don't give a fucking shit what anyone says about that movie. It's so good. I am all about atmosphere and I'm terrified of ventriloquist dummies. So that movie had my number. I had a great time seeing it in theaters. It's probably one of my best theater experiences, like seeing a movie where I was just terrified. It was critically panned. Everyone hates it. I think it's really fucking scary. In 2nd place, this is kind of a cheat. I did the entire Scream franchise.
No, but that's, like, important.
It's truly a world, and kind of the fun of Scream is that it's this gigantic franchise now. The TV show is actually really good. I know we're not doing TV.
I've heard it was good.
It is shockingly good. And then at number 1, it's probably pretty obvious by all the James Wan on my list, I love The Conjuring. I think that is one of the greatest horror movies of all time. That's what I like. I like atmosphere. I like ghosts. I like what you don't see. It has a happy ending.
It does. It was based on a true story.
Yes.
And it does have a happy ending. That movie, so you don't really make them like that anymore, is how I interpret those horror movies, because that was probably the last one I saw in theaters that I was like, wow, this is like, you know, like of that era. You know, well, and you're right. James Wan really likes to make them like that.
I think he likes a big budget horror, which is usually a tough sell.
Yeah, because some horror fans are really snobby and they're like, well, maybe I'm making that up. But like, I like the big budget ones, too. They don't always do so well. Like that movie Night Swim that came out. I don't think that did very well, but it was like kind of
Night Swim.
Yeah, I tried to watch it and it didn't look interesting. Like, I'm sorry, a pool demon. Like,
yeah.
Come into my house. Fight me there.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Go watch that movie or don't. But do. It's but fun. Do. It's a fun movie.
It's really. It is fun.
Overall, this is like one of my favorite movies. Not on my list, clearly, but I love it.
I'm probably going to go try to watch the second one now and finally get a handle on that thing.
Please tell me what happens.
I will. I'm like, I will, Brittany. I will. Well, happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween.
Bye.
Bye, squad.